have you.
You have been listening to Pathways to the Sacred. Today's show was written, produced, and hosted by myself, Josh Jordan. Special thanks to the Mountain Area Information Network, our parent company, and to Jason Holland, our station manager. I invite you to join myself, my guest, and the many fellow seekers in this world to build spiritual bridges and to foster the understanding that we are all on a pathway. If we are sincere in our desire to be one with our vision of the Spirit and to be one with each other, then our path will be a pathway to the sacred. Have a good afternoon.
And it was beautiful. A day one stone from the ground. Then the night she fell, and the air was beautiful. The night she fell.
Afternoon. It is 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, and we are here in the studio at Wordplay, a show for, by, and about writers and their craft. Today in the studio, I am Laura Hopegill, and I'm here with Sebastian Matthews, who's engineering, and an amazingly special guest, Alan Wolf. Many of you know Alan from who have been around in the poetry scene since the early 90s, from the Master Slam, Slam Master scene, and more recently for his remarkable work with continued work with publishing works for adolescents and kids. Welcome, Alan.
Welcome, Laura Hopegill.
Alan and I have a long history. We go back to the Green Door in the early days of. We go way back with the old school, and Alan used to host the slams, and I would do the open mics, and
those were the good old days, weren't they? That was the first Asheville Renaissance.
And we still have there was an article in the Mountain Express the other day about our. Past there.
Yeah,
at the
I read
door.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good article.
It was good to have some history thrown out there. And
now it. So keep going.
Some levels there.
And
Radioland, we can't hear ourselves talk, but you can hear us talk.
We believe you can hear us, so we'll just go on faith. Then. Absolutely. And Alan's most recent publication is available at Malaprops now. It is called The Haiku Stickies. Tell us about The Haiku Stickies, Alan.
Well, you know, I can't say that this is my highest literary achievement, but it's certainly my most recent one. And it's 100 haiku stickies. They're like
post-it notes that are they're gathered together into one little notepad and... they're partially written haiku. They're partially written haiku for 8 through 12 year olds. Although I think grown ups drinking wine would love them too. And they've got blanks in them so that you fill them out, and the blanks have little dots in them that tell you how many syllables you need. And so it's sort of like a Mad Lib, and then you can write your fill out your haiku and stick it on the fridge with a note to some loved one, and then you can go to the next one. And as you go through the pad, there are fewer and fewer words and more blanks. So by the end of the 100th haiku, you're writing your own haiku, and you're off, and it's got a built-in pencil sharpener and a pencil.
And you pretty much reach the Zen state by the end.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. It's sort of the nirvana of sticky haiku.
You move from the world of form and
words
to the world of silence.
Yes.
So wonderful. Zen in a Box. How about that? Available at Malaprops today.
Yeah, and published by Lark Books, who's here in Asheville.
And Lee Bow never published books of poems with pencil sharpeners built in.
No, this is only reserved for the highest quality literature.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Dao masters, yes. Be darned.
Of all my books, this is the only one with a pencil sharpener built into it, and I'm hoping it'll send it over the top.
There we go.
$4.95, 100 poems.
You can't beat it. That you write yourself.
Yeah, you write them yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Artist way, look out.
Look out.
Yeah.
So here we are. We're older, and we're still writing poetry.
We stuck to it.
Yeah. Back in those performance poetry days, everybody said, oh, this is just going to blow over. And I remember us performance poets were always saying it's not about the slam. It's not about the competition. It's about the words. And there was something really special happening in that little subterranean, sleazy space called the Green Door.
It's amazing. I have a photograph of myself sitting outside before one of those readings, and you can see the crowd gathering in the background, and I'm there clearly touching up something. That, I got the soda in one hand and the cigarette in the other. And it was the energy of the place. Mm-hmm. There was one coffee, one espresso machine in Asheville at that time.
Yes, and there wasn't a single juice bar.
No juice bars.
There was, I don't even think there was a vegetarian restaurant back then.
No, there was Laughing Seed was still at the Y.
It was like a snack bar at the Y.
Right, that's where you could get a fruit smoothie after your yoga class.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it became the Laughing Seed.
Right.
And but even like that, the street was nothing.
No, Malaprops was in the basement of where the card store is now.
Yes, Impress.
Impress, right?
Should I say? Yeah, I don't even know if they're there still. I think now it's just a bar.
But right. It's not even there.
I know.
I don't get out very much.
Right.
And we all started having children.
We've all become parents.
Yeah.
And our kids are writing poems.
Yes, exactly. Now our children are writing poems.
That's right. My own daughter said the other day, I'm so happy my heart is pink and sparkly, and the magic is making the words come out of it.
Ah,
I was like, there we go.
Beautiful.
There we go. We got a happy kid.
Our inspiration's coming from something else.
That's right. And I do want to mention that while we were at the basement before we went to children, back to the basement.
We were drinking in the basement.
Good old days.
Smoking cigarettes out in the alley.
That's right. When Asheville hosted the National Slam.
In 1994 that was.
Mm-hmm. It was a full weekend of ongoing poetry.
Mm-hmm.
At the Green Door, and there was this one day when we hosted the women's reading.
Yes,
the
Cafe of One's Own. It was One's Own the beginning,
Cafe
wasn't it?
Cafe of One's Own, that's right. That's what I originally called
it. Yes, yeah, I like it better than our own, you know.
They changed that after they fired me.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You know, they had to get a little bit of ownership. Emma, I can't believe they fired me. She said, we've had the best writers in Asheville work at Malaprops. And I said, yeah, and you fired the best. But it wasn't
the literary
Emma
illusion. It doesn't work anymore.
What was that?
The literary illusion doesn't work as well.
No, it had to be Virginia. It had to go back to Virginia.
Yeah.
But anyway, we had this reading that went on for 14 hours or something. It was just...
It was amazing.
I couldn't believe how many women... And men came up the hill.
Yeah.
The place was just people out on the balcony, up and down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And it would not end.
And we had another reading across the street at what's called the Beer Garden at the time. It was Chickadee and Rye before that, the only place that you could drink on a Monday night. On a Sunday.
Right.
And they did the erotic poetry reading there, standing on tables until late in the night. Yeah, that was a good time.
I know. This poetry just...
It was everywhere.
Named this place.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And somewhere there are pictures.
Yeah, I've got some pictures.
Okay.
I will never release them. I've been talking to David Hobbs, the fellow who started the Green Door back then. He and Bonnie Hobbs live in Florida now. And I still correspond quite a bit with them. He's got a whole wealth of photos that we've been sharing. We're kind of toying with the idea of doing a sort of a Green Door book.
That would be fantastic.
Kind of give tribute to all of our poet friends who are no longer with us, like Christine Lassiter and Pat Storm and Grant Hastie, who have all sort of passed on.
I didn't know about Grant Hastie.
He was the first.
He was.
He was the first to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was part of the Bob Mills.
Yeah, that was even before
the
whole Green
Cafe.
Door, the Uptown Cafe, which was called...
Poetry.
It was called Agape.
Oh, was
Agape,
it?
The Asheville Eclectic Ensemble of something.
Okay.
And that's where I first met you.
With reading with Bob Falls.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
That was a long time ago.
It was the night my Cocker Spaniel had a stroke.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But she was all right, just after that one ear hung lower than the other.
I'm sorry about it. I had a chicken just recently drop dead on me.
On you?
Dead, yes.
I'm sorry.
But these are the things that poetry are made out of.
It is, exactly. The life and death. Yes.
Yes.
Do you feel like reading to us?
I'd love to read to you.
Oh, go for it.
Or recite something or whatever I'll do. And so how about something just starting back from the old days?
Oh, do.
Way back when. This would be something that we might do at the Green Door. And it's called, I'd Rather Be a Cockroach Than Be Reading Poetry. And I'm going to bring out, since I don't have my guitar with me, I'm going to bring out my twanger in order to do this. And listen carefully, because I'm going to embed the names of 45 different poets into this little rap. I ain't gonna move, what you trying to prove? Go and get your own groove, dude. Why you gotta bust me? I ain't gonna move, what you trying to prove? Go and get your own groove, dude. Why you gotta bust me? William Carlos Williams, Blake Perletsky, Silverstein, Sharon Olzal Ginsburg, Kira Wax of Cedarine, Adrian Rich, Call Sambry, Gwendolyn Brooks, and Tom Carew, Cynthia McDonald, Sylvia Plath, and Langston Hughes, Elliot Bill Shakespeare, Byron Shelley, Ezra Pound, J. Johnson, Giovanni, Ferlinghetti, Dunn and Browning, Dickinson, Walt Whitman, Robert Frost, and Johnny Keats, William Cullen Bryant, Pope, and Archibald MacLeish. Well, thank you very much, but I would rather watch TV. And if all these guys are geniuses, put them on Jeopardy. And if all these guys are superstars, put them on MTV. But I would rather be a cockroach than be reading poetry. I ain't gonna move, what you trying to prove? Go and get your own groove, dude. Why you gotta bust me?
And there you have Alan Wolfe singing the praises of poetry with a very amazing little instrument there.
Yeah, it is an amazing little thing. It's just two pieces of metal stuck together, a tongue and a frame, and you can make funny noises with it. And you can even do your vowels.
The first synthesizer.
Yes, exactly. And
very
that's
cool.
That's an amazing thing. I do that with the kids. I do kids shows now, and they like that. It's just easier to travel with than a guitar or a piano.
Now, so. Is it urban legend, or what do we call it if it comes to North Carolina? Mountain legend?
Lore. It's got to be lore, mountain lore.
There we go. There yeah. we go. Mountain lore. That's right. That David Holt owns Thelonious Monk's jaw harp.
Wow. Or well, you know what? If he doesn't, he should.
Right. That that Monk gave
yeah.
Holt the jaw harp, or one of his jaw harps. Or it wasn't his only
it.
One. I'm sure they're yeah. not too hard to come by. But
yeah. No, David Holt's the perfect synthesis of mountain storytelling and poetry. It's all about the written word. And I know when I came here in 89, way back then, mm-hmm. it was a big storytelling tradition here. And that's why Poetry Alive was here performing poetry in a storytelling tradition. And that's what brought me to Asheville to begin with, is the spoken word and what they were doing with it here.
Yes, out in Jonesboro, Connie Regan Blake.
Yeah, the folk tellers.
Yes.
Exactly.
And it was also every September here at the Diana Wortham Theater.
Yeah, they
before
were doing
there was a Diana Wortham.
Yeah, exactly.
It was somewhere else. The folk tellers had their own place.
Right. The Diana Wortham was even just being built back then. I remember right. that was anything went at the Diana Wortham. There was nobody there, so we could do anything there we wanted.
I
did a kid's variety show called Uncle Al's Whiz Bang Fun Show.
I remember on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, it was Saturday mornings, yes. A variety show. And we were responsible for putting the stain in the curtain at the Diana Wortham. Look at if you go to the Diana Wortham and the curtains are closed, you'll see a stain right in the middle. It was from a pie that we threw in someone's face, and
Beautiful.
It went splashing on the curtain, and it stained yes. it forever.
That's right. Because we had also Derek, one of the
yeah.
poets, was the director of the Diana. And so if we put together a show, you would run it at the Green Door a few times. And then when you felt that it was strong enough, you took it over to the Diana
yeah,
for
exactly.
nothing. They didn't
exactly.
charge you. You just had to give them like whatever you got at the door.
Those were the good old days.
And there's another piece of Asheville history that we'll explore in just a moment, of which Alan was there with me. But first we will tell you a little bit about some writing events, author events coming up and in Asheville this coming week. You are listening to Wordplay on WPVM in Asheville, North Carolina, 93.5. We're here in the studio with Sebastian Matthews, Alan Wolf, and myself. Jeff Davis is at a birthday party. Glennis Redmond is in Hawaii. Lucky, lucky Glennis. Coming up this week, we have Monday at Malaprop's Bridging Differences Book Club with host Patty Digg. We'll be discussing Translation Nation by Hector Tobar. Thursday, July 5th at 7 p.m., Howard Mosher will present a slideshow in his new novel on Kingdom Mountain, which is rooted deeply in Mosher's own family history. On Friday at 7, Fred Thompson will be at Malaprop's presenting and signing his book, Barbecue Nation, 350 hot-off-the-grill, tried-and-true recipes from America's backyard. And then Saturday, author of What's My Name? Fool, Sports and Resistance in the U.S. by David Zirin. And also this week, Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. in the Laurel Forum at UNCA, Rick Chess will be reading, and Sebastian Matthews and myself will be joining him. Is Keith Flynn going to be joining us as well?
Who knows?
We do not know. Possibly it might be a quadruple header there. But please, we hope you'll come and join us. And Ted Hope also will be...
Ted Pope
will be performing... We do not... Goodness gracious, we are great fans of this amazing new piece that has come out called Red Lipstick. Listeners from last week got to hear a piece of this CD produced by New Native Press, which is Tom Rain Crow's creation, and it's just out of this world. So thank you for joining us today. We will now continue with talking with Alan Wolf.
Hey.
The little piece of history, Alan, that I want to bring up has to do with the Fine Arts Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
I remember.
Yes.
It used to be a porn theater.
It did indeed.
Even back before our time.
Yes, when I was yes,
it was closed by the time I got here.
Yes.
Much to my disappointment.
When I was 10, I would ride the school bus up from St. Genevieve's and get little bits of information about the larger world. Thunderbuns was one of the marquees.
Oh, and mine was Sticky Situations. I remember it like it was tomorrow. Yeah.
Tapestry of Love was another one. But it was the poets that approached John Cram.
Right. Right, I remember that. We wanted to get something going there.
Yeah, we needed
a space. In the Fine Arts Theater. Wanted
a
space, and he was open for it. I remember clearing trash out from behind there.
Hazmat suits and pulling down the red velvet.
Nasty stuff.
Yeah. I know, that's an important little piece of what poets have done here in Asheville, because now it's the Fine Arts Theater, and we're so grateful to John Cram for stepping up with us.
Yeah, he's been a good supporter of a lot of the spoken word stuff.
And he's interested in hosting and using that space for poetry again. So
that's great. Yeah, there's a whole new wave of people that are keeping all the, carrying the torch.
It's happening.
Yeah, it's great.
Can you share with us some more of your work?
I'd love to. Sure, I'd love to. I'll do one from, what I'd like to do is at some point here do just the first opening piece of a novel in verse that I've got coming out, and I could do that now, or I could do one about my son, or I don't know how much time we have here.
We have another 12 minutes.
Oh, I tell you what. Well, how about I'll do one that is of a little more literary bent than the one that I just did, the cockroach one, and. And I want to do this one because it's going to be in the Cackalack Poetry and Art Review, which is a really fine publication that's coming out. And this one's called The Poet Not Content with the Ballet of Raking Leaves. The poet, not content with the ballet of raking leaves, settles underneath the tree to compose the perfect work. The pencil, bored by the poet's wit, dulls its point in disappointment. Throughout the week, the poet wears the rhyme of two left shoes and limps his way toward the masterpiece plant where, day after day, he fails to realize the miracle of his own common lunchbox and all that it contains. A banana's slumping posture, a napkin's sad utility, a thermos's unconditional heat, a sandwich's three-part harmony. For now, he shuts his eyes and nods, captive of his hammock. His mouth hangs open, empty as 100 missed commuter trains. Asleep, Milton-like, struck blind, he finally forgets the meaning of green. Imagine what exotic language would arise, isolated from the fact of language, to dream a foreign town of alphabets, the exquisite simple curve of a C, the certain solidity of a D, the architectural angle of an A, the soothing bosoms of a B. Letters leaving their bags at home to venture on their own, visiting bars, wearing clothes, driving cars, getting tattoos. A drip of drool drops from the poet's lip. The pencil and paper slip his hand. The pencil pursues a career on the stage. The paper erases itself and waits. The poem, now left alone, turns into a bird, lights on a high branch, performs a dance, causes the bare autumn tree to bloom.
It's beautiful.
Thanks. That'll be in the Cackalack. I love that name, Cackalack Poetry
Review.
It's
a good one to say.
Yeah.
So you are writing, let me get this straight, in addition to sticky notes.
Yes.
You are writing, you keep maintaining your own poetic practice, as we would call it.
I write every day.
with your with three children in the house, which is formidable in itself, but also a novel coming out.
Right. I started off, you know, I was performing poetry with Poetry Live for the longest time, and then I decided, you know, I wanted to go off on my own, and I wanted to really make it work as a writer. And I've been working with kids for so long, I wanted to write for kids. And so one day a week, I went to Pack Memorial Library here every Friday, and I began to write a poem called the book that ended up being The Blood Hungry Spleen and Other Poems About Our Parts.
Which is outrageous.
All anatomy poems, and I'd love to do one little short one from there at some point here. That turned out to be the first picture book. It was a picture book that I put out. And that led to the writing for young adults, novels in verse. And I ended up putting out a book called Newfoundland, which was about Lewis and Clark's journey west.
Which won a number of great awards.
That was very well
received. Adult writing, right?
Yes. And, you know, there was a list. And, you know, a book is either good or it's not, and it has its own life. And that book did really well after it got out of my hands. And Candlewick Press, who's my publisher, is a really great press. They do really good quality books. And so that led to my rebirth as a young adult novelist in verse.
Nice.
And that led to my relationship with Joe Radigan here at Lark Books, Asheville Zone, which is owned by Sterling, which is owned by Barnes & Noble. Hiss, maybe, but it gives Lark a lot of a wallop. And gives them distribution. And Lark is still doing some great books.
And supports folk art.
Yes, and they do. Right. They support the locals, too. They draw from local talent. And he put together a book of mine called Immersed in Verse, an informative, slightly irreverent, and totally tremendous guide to living the poet's life, which was my opportunity to write down all the things I thought about performing and writing. And it was just a great opportunity.
And schools love it.
And it's doing well in the schools.
Yes.
And now the next one that's coming up after the sticky notes is Zane's Trace. It's this book about a kid who's traveling from Baltimore, Ohio to Baltimore, Maryland to Zanesville, Ohio in order to commit suicide on his mother's grave. And he meets all sorts of ancestors who traveled that same road, an ancient road called Zane's Trace. And they sort of talk him out of it. So it starts off a little dark in it. And he's driving in a stolen Plymouth 1969 Plymouth Barracuda, too, which makes it fun.
Absolutely.
With a loaded gun in the trunk.
There you go. And what better way to build suspense than put that loaded gun in the trunk?
Exactamundo.
Right? Fantastic. I think it's wonderful how much you're doing, not just for poetry as grown-ups. And, I mean, you really are the... one of the dads of this scene here in Asheville. I don't know who the other. I mean, Bob Falls, Nave, right?
Nave. Robert Mills was here before any of us. That
right,
guy
exactly.
Was doing poetry stuff at the Octopus's Garden. He was doing open mics down there.
Right, right, and then now working to bring poetry to the young ones. I mean, what better gift can?
Oh, it's great.
We give them, you know.
And there's more money in that.
Good to know.
There's more money in that than in doing poetry for adults, unless you want to be a professor. So.
Right, exactly. Well, read us from Blood Hungry Spleen.
All right.
We have a few minutes left, so after Blood Hungry Spleen, please
absolutely
just take us right into Zane's Trace.
They're both very short, so that will segue well. This one comes from a conversation I overheard in an elementary school. A kid say, "Hey, who stole my seat?" And I got to thinking, well, wouldn't it be funny if somebody did steal my seat? They didn't steal my chair, but they stole my derriere. What would I do? Who would I say? Tell, you know. And so this is using approximately 15 very bad puns. It's called, "Hey, Who Stole My Seat?" or "A Sad Tale." "Find your seats quickly," the bus driver yawned. So I looked for mine quickly, but found it was gone. "Oh, bus driver, help," I cried. "Something's amiss," he answered. "I'll get to the bottom of this." In vain, we searched everywhere, hoping to find some clue to the thief who had pinched my behind. Weeks later, I don't know who stole my rear end. And though it sounds cheeky, I've lost my best friend. Without my behind, I am in quite a muddle. I'll have to have surgeons perform a rebuttal. But meanwhile, if someday you happen to meet The bandit who's sitting on my stolen seat. Be rude to him, glare at him, tweak him and twank him, stomp his toe, call the police. Just don't spank him. That's from the Bloodhungry Spleen.
And here we have Zane's Trace.
And this will be the very first, the opening of this poem, this book, Zane's Trace.
When I die, I want to come back as a 1969 Plymouth Barracuda, midnight blue with black tape accents, twin dummy hood scoops, and a 440 big block engine stuffed between the fenders. An engine so big, they had to install it with a shoehorn and a hammer. I've got a six-pack of Mountain Dew, a book bag filled with Pop-Tarts, a jumbo pack of Sharpies, a change of socks, $50 cash, a credit card in my wallet, and a loaded gun in the trunk. No rear-view mirror and no more worries. It's just over 300 miles to Zanesville, Ohio. A straight shot. Gotta make good time. The sun's already up. By now, they've probably found the old man's body.
That's a great start.
That's how it starts.
Fantastic. Can't wait to read the novel. And you are listening to Wordplay on WPVM in Asheville. Wordplay will be rebroadcast. Sebastian, help me here. Tuesday evening at 6.
And then 7 in the morning next day?
I believe Wednesday at 7 in the morning. We do rebroadcast, so please check your WPVM.org calendar, and it will tell us when. Thank you for listening, and thank you so much, Alan Wolf, for being here.
Thank
what a joy.
Thank you for inviting me. This has been a real treat, Laura.
We'll have you back.
And Sebastian, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Great. Have a lovely day, everyone.
A friend of mine told me.
Escucharnos, visítenos
en el internet y mira nuestros horarios en tu sitio wpvm.org.
Revolution. Yo, 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 this is Dr. Israel. You're listening to WPVM LP in Asheville, North Carolina, 103.5, the progressive voice of the mountains.